Monitor Summertime 65, the perfect weekend companion at home or while traveling. And this is Brad Crandall sitting in for regular host Barry Nelson, who's busy this weekend in Rochester, New York, on the summer theater circuit. Movie and TV producer Ivan Torres tells us about his affection technique for training wild animals. Coming up first, however, this new one by the Golden Gate Strings. A Hard Rain's Gonna Fall.
Front of the residence, and a very attractive one, of Mr. and Mrs. Eugene Derwood, 6325 Street, where a cooler full and a very attractive one of ice-cold Coca-Cola has been left in the driveway. The family, apparently gone for the day, has just left this tempting, moisture-beaded cooler of ice-cold Coca-Cola sitting here unprotected. Neighbors have been wandering by, but so far nobody has done anything. Oh, here's a gentleman. Sir, may we talk to you?
No, thanks. I'd rather not. I don't want to get involved, if you don't mind.
But, sir...
No. But this... Get your hand off my sleeve. Get away.
Sir, here's a cooler of ice-cold Coca-Cola.
No, wait a minute.
On a warm day like this, when you're hot and thirsty, wouldn't a cold, frosty bottle of Coca-Cola feel great as it trickles down your throat? You know things go better with Coke.
No.
And here's this tantalizer. Cooler full of Coke. Just...
No, look. I don't want to get involved. Will you do me a favor? Just let me alone. I got problems of my own. You see what I mean? Can I go?
May we have your name?
Look, just do me a favor. You radio guys, you're always digging, always probing. I don't want to get involved.
But if no one claims this cooler full of Coca-Cola, it could go to you.
That's Bertram Sharp, 235-35 Street. After 6, you can call me my sister-in-law's. Here's a picture now. She's walking down there.
You see, love does conquer all. Even wild animals, or at least so says Ivan Torres, expert animal man and producer of movies, as well as the highly rated NBC TV show Flipper. He discusses animal intelligence and his affection training methods as he chats with Monitor reporter Larry King of NBC affiliate WIOD in Miami.
Is there one flipper, or are there like 6 or 7 that you use, all of whom have individual tricks?
The truth of the matter is that we have 6 dolphins, but use only 1.
What are the other 5?
The other 5 are insurance that if something happens to Flipper, Dolphins are very sensitive creatures. You know, they can become sick. They can get ulcers like people.
They do?
They do. This is about the only sickness they usually get in captivity. And when they're unhappy, they can be very moody. So I cannot afford, and NBC cannot afford the risk that we should have only one dolphin available.
Having worked with animals for so long in your animal farm on the West Coast and the like, tell me your opinion of the intelligence factor of the dolphin.
This is a very controversial subject because it's my humble opinion, but I feel that a dolphin is a much more developed, evolved, and intelligent creature than man.
Than man?
Than man. Man has to learn by trial and error, by play instincts. A baby, a child, takes 2 years to say his first word or to use his fingers properly. The dolphins learn immediately. They must have a completely different computerized mind. They're one-shot learners. They form an opinion, they assess a situation, and they execute something that's most logical.
Do they communicate with each other?
Yes.
No doubt about it.
No doubt about it. Unfortunately, we could not completely decode yet what they are saying, but one of these days I think we will.
Are you a specialist?
Yes, I consider myself a specialist. I love animals, and dolphins are animals just like my cross-eyed lion. You know, I had this picture this year, Clarence, the cross-eyed lion. I have one other coming out, Zebra in the Kitchen. And I have tremendous interest in science and the nature of a human being. What makes a human? What makes an animal? And I think I can learn more about people from studying animals than studying people.
When you say that animals teach you about people, how do you mean that?
Right now I'm engaged in the greatest experiment of my life at my animal farm, and this is affection training of animals. I found in Africa and in the sea that the mother animals always touch their babies regularly. Like at Sea Aquarium, I observed the birth of a baby dolphin, and I watched how the mother touched the baby dolphin in about every 20 seconds. I've seen this in Africa with mother and baby elephants, with mother and baby hippos, rhinos, lions. And I felt that there must be some importance in mental health and physical health, that a physical contact is necessary of healthy development of animals or babies.
So you're undergoing a study of that?
We are undergoing a study, and we train animals with affection. The rule at my animal farm is that the animal has to be touched by human hands, fondled, cared every single day, whether it's a lion or an elephant or even a python. We can safely come to the conclusion that a baby that's not picked up or touched in the first year of growth is not going to be a mentally healthy baby.
Our guest, Ivan Tors, and this is Larry King in Miami, returning you to Monitor in New York.
Well, it's a fascinating theory, but before I ever fondle a lion or a python or anything, I think I'd want some sort of guarantee on the animal's affection rating.
White, hot charcoal. Heat. Searing heat. Meat cooking, heat that can dry out even the most expensive meat. But you can keep meat juicy, even over hot barbecue fires, with Adolph's Instant Meat Tenderizer. Adolph's does much more than simply make meat tender. It keeps any kind or cut of meat far juicier, more flavorful. Next barbecue, try it. Adolph's Instant Meat Tenderizer.
News, sports, and music, all coming up directly here on the Monitor Beacon. You're back with Monitor, and this is Brad Grendel. A whole generation of Americans has become used to drama that often uses episodes and events out of Germany as its subject matter. Now, a reverse situation, reported in this Monitor News feature by NBC's Wells Hangen in Bonn.
Anti-Western propaganda on the communist stage is nothing new. What is new in East Berlin today is that the subject of the propaganda attempt is an American scientist, J. Robert Oppenheimer, portrayed by a West German dramatist. Heinar Kippart's prize-winning play, The Affair of J. Robert Oppenheimer, was first performed on West German television in January last year. By the end of the year, it had been produced by several West German theaters. 18 countries had bought rights to the play. Not until April this year did the East German communists come out with their own production of the play in East Berlin's Bertolt Brecht Theater. Kiphart's piece is long-winded and rather static, but by probing a contemporary theme, the moral responsibility of nuclear physicists, it has aroused the interests of audiences in both parts of Germany. All the action takes place during the Atomic Energy Commission's hearings aimed at finding out if Oppenheimer, the so-called father of the atomic bomb, had delayed development of the hydrogen bomb, thus debarring himself from further work on government nuclear projects. Kiphart has combed through the voluminous record of the commission hearings and picked out what he regards as the most dramatic moments. His interpretation of what went on has been challenged by Oppenheimer, but most disinterested observers think the play is reasonably truthful. As far as I know, the East Germans have not actually changed any of the lines spoken on stage, but their production is preceded and followed by some of the most blatant anti-American propaganda film I've ever seen. Before the curtain goes up, an American B-29 bomber is shown taking off, allegedly, for Hiroshima, and then the screen is filled with horror shots of bombing victims. The East Berlin production lays heavy stress on the class origins of members of the AEC board and the various witnesses, some of whom appear in pathetic imitations of American Army and Air Force uniforms. A young East German actor, Eckhard Schall, plays Oppenheimer with a brave but unconvincing attempt at pipe-smoking detachment. The rest of the characters are types cast from the communist propaganda gallery. The East Berlin press hailed the play for showing how antiseptic terror is waged against American scientists who dare to defy the warmongering monopolies. Ironically, I think the piece has the opposite effect on East Berlin audiences. They know only too well what short shrift any scientific dissenter would get from their own government without benefit of defense witnesses and protracted hearings. Wells Hagen, NBC News, Germany.
NBC correspondents throughout the world report on significant trends and events, as well as all the late breaking news each weekend on Monitor.
Back to the driveway of 6325 Street with that abandoned cooler of ice-cold Coca-Cola. A friendly crowd of onlookers is gathered discussing who owns these bottles of ice-cold Coca-Cola. The weather is warm. The frosty bottles of ice-cold Coke just sitting there.
Open up them bottles and pass around the refreshment. Things go better with Coke. Things go better with Coke.
Now, folks, we'd better wait until we know who owns the... Maybe friendly isn't the word.
Miss Peggy Lee sings In the Shadow of Your Smile.
The shadow of your smile, when you are gone, will color all my dreams and light the dawn. The shadow of smile.
Now, Monitor Sports. Baseball's All-Star Game will be played on Tuesday. So Monitor sent reporter Sam Levine to see the man the founder of the classic called his all-time All-Star third baseman, Al Rosen of the Cleveland Indians, currently a Cleveland stockbroker. Here's the report.
Al, today the players who compete on the All-Star teams are selected by the ballplayers themselves. We know that many people, including Gabe Paul, general manager of the Indians, would like to see the fans make the selection. What do you think?
Well, I feel as Gabe does. I think that this ought to be something that the vast baseball audience should participate in, even though being selected by your fellow players, too, is a great honor, because then you realize that, after all, these are the fellows you play with and against all the time, and if they feel that you're all-star material, then it sort of elevates your thinking of yourself.
Well, Al, tell me, why do some star ball players try to get out of playing in the All-Star Classic?
Well, first, I could only speak for myself in saying that I was most disappointed the number of years that I was left off the All-Star team. I would think that being selected to an All-Star team is one of the finest singular honors a fellow could receive while he was playing in the major leagues. The fellows, after all, when you do have as many players as you have playing, you've got some bad apples you're bound to have. There are some fellows who would rather go fishing or play golf or something of that nature, but I would believe that 99 9/10% of the fellows who are selected to the All-Star team, and even up to 100% who are selected to the All-Star team, realize the great honor that's being bestowed upon them, and they enter into this ball game with one idea in mind, and that's to win in the representation of their league.
Al, we know that you are the president and one of the founders of the Wahoo Club in Cleveland. What is the Wahoo Club and what's its purpose?
Well, the Wahoo Club is a baseball booster club, which is a luncheon club, really, but our motto and creed is to aid baseball on all levels. We're interested in baseball in the sandlots, even and up to the major leagues. We have luncheon meetings with visiting clubs, sending some of their star ball players. It's a very fine organization, and we get a lot of fun out of it, and I know that it does cull out the fellas who are not baseball fans. These fellas are really the baseball fans who stick through the major league team's problems through thick and thin.
Al, some months back, Cleveland baseball fans were concerned about the Indians remaining in Cleveland. Do you think that the Indians are here to stay in Cleveland?
There is one thing that will keep a major league team in any town in which they're participating, and that's a winning effort. This ball club that we have this year is a very exciting ball club, and the fans are talking baseball, they're going down to the stadium, and they're being rewarded by some very fine efforts, and as you know, the ball club is doing very well at this time.
Thank you very much, Al Rosen. This is Sam Levine for Monitor Sports.
Now a word about L&M filter cigarettes.
Come on over to the L&M side for the cigarette you can taste.
Come on over to the L&M side. Come on over, you'll be glad you did. Come on over to the L&M side. Come on over, you'll be glad you did. Come on over to the L&M side.
Come on over for the cigarette you can taste.
For more features and news from the world of sports, stay tuned to Monitor. And don't forget, the Major League All-Star Game from Minneapolis will be carried by NBC Tuesday, July 13th.
Thank you.
It's called The Duck, and the orchestra belongs to Percy Faith. Just a reminder that Monitor is nationwide, and the WGR, Buffalo, New York, serves the Niagara Frontier area. A word or two now from the NBC station in your area, and then Monitor will continue. This is Brad Crandall.